Good morning, friends and brethren. So very good to see you this morning. Good to see we have some visitors here too. We are really glad to see you, to have you here today. My parents grew up in the mountains of Kentucky and West Virginia. This will be back in the 1930s is when they were born. And they grew up knowing what hard work was all about. And they learned, they just basically learned that to live, you had to work hard. My mom's family moved to Florida when she was about 10 years old. They were looking for a better way of life. Life had proven hard in West Virginia. There was a family of 6 children. My mom's mother died when she was about 10. A life in Florida looked to offer some promise, a promise of a new start, an opportunity, maybe a little better money, better work. And so they worked as sharecroppers, picking everything from strawberries to peaches to citrus to green beans and anything that grew out of the ground. They had food to eat, but they never had much money. In fact, they didn't really own anything of any value. Life was still hard. It was in the mid-50s that my mom and 2 of her sisters and their older brother, well, they struck out and located to Michigan to be pickers in the orchards there, apples and peaches and cherries. They heard that there was plenty of work to be found there, and that was true, and that they could make more money. And so they packed a few belongings. Well, a few belongings was really all they had. And they went north, seeking a better life. My dad was born and raised in the mountains of southeastern Kentucky. He was in the heart of coal country. In the 1930s and 40s, well, times were pretty lean in what has later been described as poor Appalachia. Coal was the only thing happening, but to work in coal offered few rewards. And he could see that the result of working many years in the mines left you very often sick, disabled, and poor. So when he finished high school, he went to Detroit. He was going there to work in the car factories and the steel mills, because he'd heard from others that the work was plentiful and the pay was a lot better. And so he went seeking a better way of life. Well, he had learned as a boy the meaning of hard work, and that would be a trait that would always guarantee him a job of some type, no matter how physical or how demanding the labor may be. But Uncle Sam called in 53, and that took him overseas for a couple of years. But when he came back to where he thought he could find a better way of life. He went back to Michigan and worked in the mills and the factories again. 1957, my dad decided to go visit an old Army buddy of his who was at this time living in Michigan, working in the orchards, picking apples and peaches. So my dad went up north in Michigan and to visit his Army buddy, and well, you might have figured out it was there he met my mom. Well, that part is history. It wasn't long until they were married, and they lived in Michigan, where they worked together to find a better way of life. They weren't going back to the hills. They weren't going back to Florida. They weren't going back to the mines. All of that seemed to be kind of a dead end, limited opportunity. So they stayed where they thought they could have things a little bit better. Well, their life circumstances were probably better, being out of Appalachia and out of the mines and the fields. But the answer to finding a better way of life really had nothing to do with where they lived or the work that my dad found. You know, they never found wealth or a life that was without difficulties or challenges, but they did find a new way of life, a life that would be built on a different understanding of life, a life that would be built on new principles, a life that led them to make changes in the way they lived and allowed them to truly have a better way of life. You know, many people today are still looking for that better way of life. And some are willing to go to great extremes, to go, to move, to change their life, the course of their life in many ways. And yet they still, at the end of their life, are seeking for that better way of life. A better way of life is nothing new. I mean, from the earliest ages, there are kings and common men who are looking for that better way of life, to find happiness, to find contentment, to find meaning for life. And yet when we think of the good life, so often we think about prosperity, we think about pleasure, we think about popularity, because we suppose that these are the things that will bring happiness. And yet many who are wealthy and living high and famous are still looking for fulfillment in life, are still looking for happiness. They've not come to it yet. In Luke chapter 12, and I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12, Jesus has some things to say that I think will be helpful to us on this end. Luke chapter 12, we begin reading at verse 13. And one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." There's a distinction being made right here. A distinction that our value or our worth is not in what we own. Wealth is not what makes us better. Wealth is not what makes life better. And even if we have great physical wealth, what is that going to be worth to us in the end? It's not going to make us any happier in the end. In fact, we may still find ourselves very disappointed come the end of this life. The same text, verse 16 beginning. And Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room for my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" You've got to stop and think for just a minute. He had found it, hadn't he? He had made it. He had found that better way of life. He had prosperity. He was in control. He had everything that he needed. And it was time now just to sit back and enjoy. He had it all. But Jesus says something more. But God said to him that night, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You see, even if we have great physical wealth, what will be worth to us when we die? It won't mean anything to us. It might go to someone else, and maybe they enjoy that for a while. But if that is what makes their life better and that's all there is, they too will come up empty in the end. The rich man here was actually very poor. Though he would be the envy of many people because of his great wealth, he was a fool in the midst of good fortune because he lost sight of what was really important. He had given no thought to eternity, but he lived life in view of the moment. He had sought a better life, and he had a better life in the eyes of men, but actually, he missed it all. In the days of creation, God endowed man with a better life. In fact, in the garden, man had it all, but he lost it when he sinned. And with sin came guilt and fear, pain and death. All came along with that sin. Sin is still the problem. Sin is still the spoiler of true happiness and a better life. We can go seeking and searching for a better life, and we can try to make a new path in life. We might make good decisions, and we might even become wealthy. But in the end, there will not be contentment in wealth, prosperity, and popularity, and all of those things that may be important to us, if we have missed the opportunity to have a relationship with God and build our life around Him. When Jesus was teaching, so very often He goes right to the root of an issue. That's always helpful to me, because sometimes we can get lost in the periphery of some issues. Jesus just goes right to the bottom line. Jesus could easily see that the greatest problem of man was not a lack of physical prosperity, but it was the loss of a relationship with God. That's what man has been missing more than anything. There could be no greater loss. Every loss is not counted in dollars and cents. It's easy for us to get in the mindset that we figure profit and loss just based on physical things. Jesus is telling us that there's more to life than that. There are things that are much more important than that. And what brought about that loss, sin, what brought about that loss was a problem that comes from within. It's a heart issue, which from which comes sin. In the book of Mark. In the book of Mark, chapter 7, we begin reading here at verse 20. It was Jesus speaking. What comes out of the man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. In honesty, most would have to admit that the lifestyles mentioned here does not really bring fulfillment in life, but unhappiness. Well, there's a temporary satisfaction that's found in sin. We don't think of it as sin. We just think of things that we enjoy, things that we want to do. But if we step back from the situation for a moment, we can understand that, you know, yes, there is temporary satisfaction in sin. There has to be, or nobody would sin, or Satan would have no success tempting us if there were no happiness to be found in sin. But life experience tells us that the joy of sin is short-lived, and that often the consequences of it can bring years of unhappiness to us. But even in a world of sin, there is still a way of finding happiness. There is still a way of finding a better life. It's not in sin. We can understand that. The origin of a better way of life is not in things of this world. It's only turning from sin that we can find hope that will lead us to happiness. Peter has some things to say that could be helpful to us. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. At verse 10, Peter actually is quoting from the Psalms. But as he's writing to these Christians, he's trying so very hard to help them understand where real blessings can be found. Blessings are not going to be found in things of this world. But as he writes, 1 Peter 3, verse 10, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." It is when we study the law of Christ, the Word of God, that we can come to recognize sin for what it is. Ultimately, it is sin that brings a separation between us and a loving God who made us in His very image. The prophet Isaiah penned those words, "The arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is His ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God." Sin is the problem. When we are looking for a better way of life, when we are looking for true happiness and fulfillment in this life, it cannot be found separate from God. And when there is sin in our life, there is a separation. There is a limit on what level of fulfillment we can find in this life separated from God. Yes, we might find prosperity or maybe popularity. We may find some things of this life that the world would think would make us rich. But if we are separated from God, we still have nothing. We can never truly find a fulfilling life separated from God, our Maker, our Creator. There is a way for us to draw closer to God, but it's not of our making, but it's by His plan. And it's Jesus who leads us back. It is Jesus who shows us the way to a relationship with God. It is Jesus who leads us to a better way of life. Only by following the perfect example of Jesus can we identify and avoid sin. Still in 1 Peter, look at chapter 2, verse 21 beginning. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What a story. The story of Jesus. And this just gives us a little insight of why He was here, why He came, His purpose, what He did for us, and the example of His life. Imagine life without guilt. Life that is without fear and without anxiety. Some people have said, we can never find such a life. My life is filled with anxiety. My life is filled with fear and concern. But there is a way to find peace. There is a way to find happiness that is a true happiness. The Apostle Paul said it this way, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 7. Yeah, there is a peace that can be found. There is a way to put off the anxieties of this life. But it's not something we can do on our own. It's something that can only be found in Jesus Christ. To know this peace, it is our goals that will have to change. Our priorities in life will have to change. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, a passage that seemingly is dedicated to the idea of standing and moving closer to God and knowing that God understands our needs and how He knows each of us, it's in this text, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." No longer looking to the riches of this life for fulfillment, but for the riches afforded to us by God. There's a great difference. We might in this life be poor in the eyes of the world. We might in this life not have all of the things that we would desire from a physical standpoint. But if we have a relationship with God, we can have everything. We can have life that comes after this one. We can live this life in such a way where we know we have hope, we find comfort in that. We know we have a relationship with God. New treasures, not of earthly origin, but that which comes to God, from God. But to receive those, we might have to change our hearts. To receive them, we have to have a new focus in life. There are new priorities. We have to have a life built on new principles that will lead us to a better way of life. And as Jesus just said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What captivates your heart? What has your attention more than anything? What is your heart set on? Is it treasures of this earth? Or the treasure that is set before us in heaven? Which will it be? We'll have to choose in this life. We can't go both ways. We can't have both. We can live for the matters of this world, or we can live for the Lord.
But we'll have to choose. Our life is better with Jesus.
Our health is better when we live a life like that which Jesus teaches us to live, a pure life. We are better off financially when we do not have the expensive costs of sinful activities. Our family life is better when we learn to think of others before ourselves and when we build godly homes built on the principles that He has given us. And regardless of the problems and the troubles that we still must face, we face them with Jesus and we face them with the hope of heaven. We can deal with issues in this life in a whole different way when we know we have something that comes after this life. We can deal with disappointments, we can deal with hardships with a new view when we know that Jesus is walking with us. We can have a better life. And that better life comes from Jesus. There is a way to a better life. Are you searching for that? Do you want to find a way to a better life? The way to a better life is only found in Jesus. And Jesus can help us. Jesus will guide us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. John chapter 14 and verse 6, that's what Jesus said, that He is the way. We are in no position to argue with what Jesus says. It's not just a matter of calling out His name. It's not just a matter of saying that we belong to Him. It's not just a matter of doing things that the world would consider to be religious. But it's a matter of giving our heart to Him. And doing so in such a way that it changes our life. That it becomes evident to others and certainly before the Lord that we are living, that we are walking for Him. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says something interesting. It's a passage that, well, as I've read this to some people don't like what it says. But again, I don't think we're in a position to argue with Jesus. Here's what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonderful works in your name? And yet I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There's a division that will come, a separation that will come, a judgment. The Lord will be there, and so will we. And those who are determined to be the people of God can stand before the Lord with hope and with confidence, having submitted to the will of God, willingly doing what He has called us to do and what He wants us to do. There will be many, even religious people, who will stand before the Lord and will be disappointed because they have missed that basic teaching, that basic principle, that to be called children of God, we have to submit to His will. Jesus will lead us to a better life. A better life in this physical environment and a better life in that which is to come. A better way of life is found in repenting of our sins, turning away from them, and turning instead to Christ and confessing His name. The Apostle Paul, at the end of an incredible sermon in Acts chapter 17, said, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And it was Jesus who said, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. To put off sin and to put off the temporary pleasures of this life and to put on Christ is that which can give us hope. Hope that is eternal. Hope that will last. It is Jesus who is offering. It is Jesus who is promising us a better life. But to have that better life, we will have to do what He says. We'll have to listen to what He says and to be in Christ. Apostle said it this way, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I want you to be in Christ. I want us to stand before the Lord in judgment with hope and confidence, having found a better way of life. A better way of life that is found in Jesus. He is the hope. He is our only hope, truly, for a better way of life. Will you submit to Him? Will you follow Him? If we will, He'll lead us to heaven. If you need to respond to the gospel today, we hope you will come as we stand and sing.